Good afternoon, everyone. Do I need to do anything with the microphone? Probably not. You may have noticed I'm at least half an inch taller than the average person. Certainly here with Courtney and Seth. I caught Seth this morning peeking in a closet in the other room to see what my wardrobe was so he could match me. It felt a little awkward at first, but then I had to take it as a compliment. So my wife Regina's not here. We have our second grandchild born August 1st, and so she's out in California visiting for who knows how long. I'm lucky if she comes home, you know, in a month or so. She went out when Liam was born, Liam David. I normally point out David, that middle name. She was out there for almost 2 months, actually just over a month. So if she gets the opportunity to go, I'm never quite sure. With the flexible airline tickets, sometimes you wonder if she'll ever come back. You know, she can just change it and stay longer, but we'll see. So if I'm here again soon, I'm sure she'll be with me. Anybody that's ever heard me speak before, I've got this special stopwatch. Half the time I forget to start it, so it's a moot point. But when I do start it, it gives me a second and a half per second. So that, I mean, it's 50% more than what it says on here. So sometimes it's not such a good gauge for me, but we'll see. Anybody ever want to be perceived to be really smart? Even if you're not smart, you want to be perceived smart, right? What about a good parent? You know, everybody wants to be a good parent who's got kids. Anybody here want to be ever thought of as a deep thinker? You know, that person's intellectual, they're a deep thinker. What about wisdom and truth? Oh, yeah, I want to be perceived as being somebody of wisdom and truth. How about humility and kindness? Wouldn't that be great to be thought of that way and to pursue those things? Relationship with God, the same thing. I want to be in a good relationship with God. I want to be a good person that way. Friends, I want to be a good friend. How do I be a good friend? These are all really big subjects. Avoiding conflict. Yes, I want to avoid conflict when I can. I want to, you know, aid or add to conflict. I want to be a problem solver. How do I become a problem solver? These are big things. Effective manager. I want to manage well my life, my family, my relationships at work. I want to be an effective manager. What could I do to make me better at that? What about a leader? I want to be a leader. I want to grow as a leader. Success. I want to be successful. Anybody here want to be successful in whatever endeavors that you're involved in? Of course. What about a great teacher? I want to be effective in communicating ideas and thoughts, how to help people in their lives. Maturity. I want to be mature and set a good example and grow in grace and knowledge. I want to keep learning. I want godly character. Those are all really, really big things. Well, let me ask you this question. What one simple thing can we do that would make great advances or strides in all of those areas? Sounds almost too good to be true. And I can only think of one answer, apart from the obvious, i.e. pray, study, read, and those are obviously great answers to that question. But those are lifelong things. You know, developing character through prayer and study and fasting and keeping of God's laws, obviously a key part of that answer. But there's something much, much, much more simple that actually would help with everything I just described. Everything I just described. One of the greatest secrets, tools for growth in all those areas is asking questions. Asking questions. That sounds so simple. It sounds easy. But if you ask yourself or ask God, if you're talking, again, there's a disclaimer to that. It's asking good questions. We've all met the person that sometimes seems to ask questions without purpose. You know, you have a meeting. If you're ever in a corporate world, you have a meeting and there's always that guy, you know, that wants to step up with questions that are irrelevant or this, just a drain on time. But asking good questions and seeking answers actually would help everything that we just described. And it's such a simple thing, but you'll see when we go through this, why it's so important. Because we look around the world around us, very dogmatic, very opinionated. You know, people are happy to jump on and tell you what they think. We've all run into that guy or gal. You know, you can't get a word in edgewise. They'll tell you what they think about everything. Opinionated. We hear about fake news. They'll make up stuff. Whatever. They'll have something to say. They'll never ask you a question. They'll never try to get you involved in that conversation. That's just one way to look at it. Proverbs 12, verse 18. Don't need to turn to these. I'll cover quite a few verses. Some I'll ask you to turn to, some and most I won't. But Proverbs 12, verse 18 says this, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Again, so there's a wisdom in talking, asking questions, and what we say, how we act and interact with other people. But at its most fundamental perspective, you ask yourself, what is conversion? You know, it's growing from one point to another. It's changing character. And sometimes that's hard to do. We hit roadblocks in life. You say, well, I've been attending church for 50 years or for 30 years or 10 years or 5 years. And sometimes prayer and study, again, obviously critical. Don't get me wrong. Those types of things are the answer. But sometimes doing the simplest of things, i.e. asking questions, can change everything. Can change everything. You'll see as we go through, there's another proverb, and this is just a generic proverb. It's not in the Bible. He who is afraid to ask is ashamed of learning. You know, we'll see that as we go through here in examples and other verses about that. So to ask the question, you know, how do we change? How do we grow? All those things I brought up are changing, right? If you say, well, I want to be a better parent or a good parent, well, it presumes there's room to grow. I want to be a deep thinker. Well, it means I'm not there yet. There's more to grow. I want to be a better leader, so you're here and you want to get better. So all those things can be achieved by asking good questions and seeking answers. So there's different ways that we learn or that we're taught, different approaches. When we look, the most basic is how do we generally, commonly learn, is we're proclaimed. You know, God proclaimed his word. You know, that's he's just putting it out there. He's projecting it. He's speaking. He's teaching it. Or we sit in a lecture, a classroom, and we're proclaimed something. You're taught a subject. And that's a common way. God proclaimed his name to Moses, it says in Exodus. God proclaimed the Ten Commandments. He spoke to and through the prophets. So God would proclaim a message through a prophet, through a representative. It says in Mark 1, verse 14, that Jesus proclaimed the gospel. Again, that's an effective way to get information out there, and it's obviously a requirement. It's a must-do if you're trying to educate and teach people. The apostles, of course, in Acts proclaimed the gospel, and it's found in multiple places in Acts. Paul proclaimed Jesus, it says. So that's important. That's effective. And we, as a church, historically, that's what we've done. We proclaim the gospel. You know, a person, a man, generally speaking, stands up in front of a group and proclaims a message. And that is an effective way to do it. But asking questions is different. Asking questions is different. And it's scriptural. You know, we can sometimes get caught up in the culture of proclaiming. I want to proclaim how to be good kids if I'm a parent. Sit down and talk. I'm going to lecture you. You know, if I'm a professor, I want you to sit there, be quiet, and I'll proclaim to you. If I'm your boss, you'll sit down. I will proclaim what your duties are. I will just tell you that. And unfortunately, we're in a world that has got caught up in that. If anybody's been to a college, university, it used to be that colleges taught people to question everything. You know, to think outside the box, to be free thinkers. And again, that got us, in one sense, in the mess we're at to some degree. But nowadays, you know, society wants to tell us, proclaim what we should believe. So it's a relevant and prevalent thing. We, as a society, even as a church, even as a family, an employer, a boss, a leader, we often get caught up in proclaiming something rather than asking questions. And we'll see through Scripture, Christ was the greatest question asker. Even when he knew all the answers, he's God embodied in the flesh, yet he asked questions, lots of questions. And we'll go through some of that because it's a way to change people. It's a way to grow, to learn, And if we don't get good at asking questions and seeking answers, we're not going to grow. We're not going to grow the same way that we would if we ask questions and seek answers. And that's the title of this message, is Ask Questions and Seek Answers. And we can't grow or change without it. Even if a person who's first being called, they start to ask those big questions, don't they, in life? And that leads them somewhere. But then at some point, we often just get stuck in that proclamation mode when we stop asking questions. We'll look at a study that was done that's very fascinating, some of the information. But anyhow, so proclaiming is good. There's nothing wrong with that, but it can't be the only way that we learn or that we teach or that we communicate with other people. A less obvious way, of course, of understanding, of gaining in truth and growing is asking questions. If you would turn to Mark 11, or not, because we got plenty of verses to turn to. Mark 11, verse 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them." So we get used to seeing and hearing that verse. We can turn to another one, 1 John 5, verse 14. It's very similar. 1 John 5, verse 14 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us whatever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." But again, that passage, we often read that or think of that as asking for something. God, please provide my needs. God, please provide a job. Please provide a spouse. Please make this go well. Please do this. Please do that. It's like a honey-do list. And we ask for things that we want or need. But we'll see as we go through here, we should be asking God the right questions. God, what is faith? God, how can I increase my faith? How can I understand mercy greater? How can I understand, oh, well, I thought I was supposed to just ask for things. So even the verses that we often read involving asking, we don't generally think about asking a question. We generally interpret those as asking for something. And so again, that's something we just to think about, but that's normally a physical focus. If you would turn to Matthew 7, verse 7, we'll read this for sure. Matthew 7, verse 7, you'll see in here, Christ, of course, gives lots of emphasis. And this, again, is a passage related to asking. But again, we don't often think of asking as asking questions. Ask could be asking a question. God, where do I need to grow? How do I need to grow? What is, you know, then you fill in the blank, something good, something spiritual rather than physical. Matthew 7, verse 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Of course, verse 8, he gives promises in here. These are promises we can claim. "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." Doesn't say it might, it says it will be open. Well, has everybody here ever asked for 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 physical things over their life and they've gotten every one of them? I know the answer is no. Well, why would that be no? It says right here, you'll get them. Because we're not asking the right things. You know, we're not asking the right things. And it goes on to explain that. Verse 9. "Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone?" Those are physical but in good things. We'll see here, though. Verse 10, "Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Well, if he's intending to reference all physical things, then the verse is not true, because I've asked for thousands of physical things that I've not been given. Again, asking the right things is important. The word seek in this passage, S-E-E-K, seek, I'm reading from Help's Word Studies, means this: to seek by inquiring, to seek by asking questions. That's what seek means. To investigate, to reach a binding resolution, to search, getting to the bottom of a matter. That's what the word means. Doesn't mean seek, God, I seek these physical things. I'm asking you for these physical things. No, we should be inquiring. getting to the bottom of a matter. God says every time, if we only ask God for spiritual things, that's not realistic. We're human. I understand we do and shouldn't ask for physical things. Healing is a physical thing. But again, when we ask the right questions and more of those, God, what is love? Please help me this year to understand what love is in a different light than I've ever seen it before. God's not going to say, no, I'm not going to give that to you. I am not going to reveal that to you. Of course not. That's why that verse, and that's the only way this verse can be true. Unless there's some person that's been given every physical thing they've ever asked for, this verse must not be true. Because God says, your Father who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him. He says he will do it every time. And if we seek, right? God, fill me with the knowledge of your scripture. Boom, it's done. No, seeking means to inquire, to ask questions, to investigate, to reach a binding resolution, to search, to get to the bottom of matter. That takes effort. Well, God, please help me to grow it in love and understanding this year about this or whatever. And you do your part to investigate that, then God absolutely will answer that ask, that request. We just don't often ask the right thing. Of course, in a message about asking questions, we have to cover that first because it sets the stage. If I had to quantify the number of my prayers where I ask something, I'd say 85% of the time I'm asking for something physical. That's just, we're physical people. God, fix this situation. I've got a project that's out of control. Please work in the mind of those people and make them nice to me, you know, whatever it might be. I build homes for a living. I pray that a lot because people are vicious when it comes to their house and money, you know, those kinds of things and decisions. And it's out of your control because there's 80 people involved to build a house, supply chain issues, and people hate you for it, you know. So you pray that a lot, and that's good. I should. But again, how many times do we ask for something that God promises to give every time? God, help me to understand five things, three things, one thing I can do better as a parent this year. No, Dave, I'm not going to give that to you. I'm going to withhold that from you. When you're seeking and investigating and trying to be that and trying to get to the answer, God's going to open that answer every time. He promises. And that's an amazing thing. Matthew 6, verse 33, don't need to turn here, but a very key, important phrase or passage we always use or often use, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Those are spiritual things. The word seek there is the same thing. Seek by inquiring. That's the primary meaning. Seek by asking questions. How else would you seek? I'm trying to find something somewhere. What's the first thing I do? Find somebody to ask a question. Which way is north? Where do I go from here? When do I turn left? When do I turn right? How do I get there? What should I bring? I mean, to find anything, you have to start asking questions. I've had conversations with people, or had relationships with people I've known for 20 years. They've never asked me a question. They're always telling me something. You bring up a subject, they know everything. And you sit there and, you know, whether you can restrain yourself from the eye roll or not, you're thinking it. Because this guy's, I can't get a word in. He never asked me a question. You know, I've been yelled at for things I didn't do because people didn't ask a question. Seeing Lori out here reminds me of Ambassador College, a little event that happened. Called to the dean's office, Greg Albrecht. Again, he's a good dean at the time and so forth. And, you know, in trouble for something. You know, there's three of us, four of us called in. Sitting there, I mean, he just tore us up and down, yelling and screaming, literally. And then Barry Knuth, a friend of mine there, it was the oldest, so he looked to him and said, Barry, he's yelling at me. What do you have to say for yourself? And Barry was so afraid and didn't know what to say. He says, I don't know. I wasn't there. You know, he wasn't even involved, you know. So, again, ask questions. You avoid those things, you know. Anyhow, it's just interesting. But, you know, we get, with a question, we resolve. I asked up front, you know, solving problems, avoiding problems. No, I'm going to start yelling at my children for something that I think they did or said, or, but won't you understand maybe why they did it? It can be totally different. It may be a plus. It might have been a good thing that you're about to turn into a negative thing. We don't generally jump to asking questions first. We give our opinions, thoughts, and emotions first, and then maybe if we're lucky, we ask a single question. God doesn't set that example for us. You know, so if we're asking ourselves, you know, those big questions, you know, how can I improve, or how am I perceived, or how can I grow, how can I serve, you have to ask some questions. And then when we do, we find, again, back to Matthew 7:7, where we read about asking and receiving, God gives us a promise. The word that says finds, Matthew 7:7, means find, learn, or discover. Learn or discover sounds different to me than getting something physical. I don't learn something physical. I don't discover something physical. Because the intent of this passage is we're asking for the right things. The right things. In example, he says bread, you know, for a son or a daughter, because a child's different. But again, to us as spiritual people called to grow in knowledge, God's expecting that we get beyond bread. And, you know, I don't want a stone when I ask for bread. He's just setting the example there. The word find means to find, learn, or discover, especially after searching. That's straight out of the concordance. We seek by asking questions, by inquiring. God says you will learn and discover the answer. If you'll just ask a question. I mean, I feel like at times I can go a month or a week or years for that matter without somebody asking me a question about something. Again, when it comes to certain subjects. So again, it's important we see that. The whole principle of discipleship, you know, if we had to summarize our calling in one word, it's becoming disciples of Christ, discipleship. What's a disciple do historically and even now? They sit, they listen, right? They do receive that proclamation, but a good student asks questions. A disciple, they're walking and talking with Christ 3.5 years. Christ didn't just sit and preach to them nonstop for 3.5 years. And I know that because we can read his words. And I'll give you some statistics on that. And it's mind-blowing how many questions Christ asked. So again, even discipleship, you can't be a good student without asking questions. It's just not possible. So I want to look to Christ as the example, you know, the master teacher, the master question asker, if you will. And he asked great questions. He asked all types of different types of questions in different circumstances. And it's fascinating. You can do a study. I did a huge study on this because it was so intriguing. But again, if you ask great questions, you learn how to learn how to teach, you learn how to build and develop relationships. You know, Seth is great. He asked me all kinds of questions. Simon, my other son-in-law, is the same way. Ask questions, and they're great about that. And so when you do that, you're opening up relationships. You're learning things you wouldn't otherwise know because we get so used to in this society of just kind of being opinionated. I saw this on the news, and I've got an opinion. You know, we don't ask people, so what's your thought on this? How do you understand what you know, faith? What's your greatest challenge in overcoming? Or how do you endure to the end? I mean, those are big questions, maybe too big to be asking somebody all the time. Those are big questions. But again, asking questions helps us achieve all those things. You want to be an effective manager? How are you going to do it without asking questions? You know, all this, a leader, how do you do that without asking questions? You want wisdom and truth, you want to avoid conflict, success, godly character, deep thinker, all the things I mentioned in the beginning. You can pray and study for all those, and we should. But asking questions is a more simple, specific thing that helps us break through some of these things. So let's look to some of Christ's examples and how he set the tone and how he teaches, why he teaches us to ask questions. Let me ask you this question. How many of Christ's questions are recorded in just the four Gospels? Of course, Christ is the Word, it's the Bible, including the Old Testament. But just in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how many questions are recorded that Christ, this is just what is recorded. And again, remember, he's God who became flesh. He already has all the answers. He doesn't have to ask any questions because he knows the answer. Anybody want to guess? Is it 50? Any takers? 75? Any takers? 100, 150, 200. No takers? 339 questions. 339 questions in the four Gospels. That's unbelievable. What percentage of his teachings would be that? I didn't figure that out. 339 questions when he knew all the answers. Why waste your time? Because he's effective. He's the most effective teacher. And he sets an example of ask questions, and guess what? Things will change. It will change how people see you. For sure, it will change them. Because once you ask somebody a question, they get become vested in the answer. If you proclaim to me, you know, if my wife proclaims to me every day what I should be doing, you know, I'm not nearly as vested if she says, well, what do you think you should do or could do, or what can we do in this situation? All of a sudden you become vested because you're shared in that responsibility. You're shared in the energy, the effort it takes to do whatever's being discussed. If I proclaim to my employees, do this, do this, do this, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. If I ask them, well, what do you think? If the tables were turned, how would you do this? How would you achieve what you know needs to be achieved? And you ask that question, boom, they're vested. Oh, wow, they want my opinion. Whether they do it or not, even just asking is going to change the whole dynamic. And they become better employees. And you can lead them when they're trying to do that. It's hard to leave somebody who's not vested. Children the same way. You know, we as parents, you know, get used to correcting our children. Correct, correct, correct. Don't do this, don't do that. No, no, don't do this. Ask questions. And again, it will change. You know, I think we did that. You know, help your kids think and understand why you think the way you think, and they start to get vested in that same thought. Yes, another question about Christ. Again, these are factual, but emphasize the point of asking questions. What's the first recorded words to mankind? God to mankind. What's the very first words? It was a question. Where are you? You know, Genesis 3:9. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? God knew where he was. He had the answer. He starts with a question. Again, is that of and by itself some big doctrine? No, but it's interesting, and it says something. What's the first recorded of words of Jesus Christ when he was young? First recorded words. I'll read them to you. Luke 2, verse 49. And he, Jesus, at 13 years of age, said to them, what? A question. That's it. Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Why not just state that as a statement? Christ asked a question. I mean, the first recorded of God who became flesh is a question. That's interesting. What's the first recorded words of Jesus as a minister? When he started preaching the word, became discipling the disciples. I'll read this to you. John 1, verse 35. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, verse 36, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Verse 38, then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? That's amazing. All these firsts, among the other 339 times in recorded Gospels, Christ, who had all the answers, who could read people's hearts and minds, is asking questions. Why? Is it meaningless? Oh, it's just coincidence. No, there's no coincidence in Scripture. God wrote and spoke and recorded what he wanted us to learn, to see. Christ is the ultimate example. He's ultimate example when asking questions. 339 in the four Gospels. How many questions do we ask? Our spouses, how was your day? How do you feel? What went right? What's on your mind? What do you think about this? We can go weeks and I ask a question, just giving statements. We have to be careful about that because we're shutting off the opportunity to grow, to do all those different things. Types of great questions. Of course, many, you know, introspective, they make you think. Most questions, depending on the setting, helps build a relationship. You know, you get to know more. I can ask you 10 questions, if I had the time to sit down and strategize 10 questions, that I can learn more about you than I can in 100 other run-ins. You know, we talk about sports, talk about the weather, talk about, you know, Titans game, talk about UT Vols, which Seth would be happy to do forever, you know. we could come up with, you know, I could run into you 100 times on the street and talk for an hour each time. I could get 30 minutes and 10 questions and I would know more about you than a year, 10 years worth of relationship. Do we ask each other questions? Or we just kind of give, you know, small talk and we don't ask questions. Parents, relationships, husband and wife, same thing. Children, us to God. God, what's wrong with me? God, where can I improve? God, you know, obviously during Passover, we may ask some of those questions. But again, asking questions of God. And again, where we read Matthew 7, asking the right questions, and 100% he promises to guarantee, and guarantees us, he'll give us the answer. But we're too often, so often, asking for physical things. We wonder why we don't get it. God never promises all those things. He's only promised if you ask good things, it says. Not that some physical things are fine to ask for. We're physical and we have those needs. Matthew 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Those are all the physical things we normally ask for. Is not your life more than food and the body more than clothing? What a great question. That's Christ. Again, isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Another great question. Christ, all through his speaking, he has questions. Verse 27, which of you, question, by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Another question. Verse 28, another question. So why do you worry about clothing? I mean, Christ, one question after another question after another question. Why not just proclaim to me, God, what you're trying to say here? Don't worry about these physical things. Ask the right things and worry about spiritual things. Because asking the question is more meaningful. It's more directive. It's more instructional. It gets people vested. It gets them thinking. Gets them growing. Christ asks questions all the time. Matthew 7, verse 3. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Wow, now there's a question that hits hard, doesn't it? Why are you still worried about everybody else's issues? Why not just say, don't worry about everyone else, worry about yourself. Fix your own problem. Put your air on first, right? You're in a plane, flight attendant says, in event of emergency, put your air mask on first. Then worry about somebody else. Christ says, look, why are you so focused on the speck in your brother's eye? It's a question. Matthew 18, verse 12, another question. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? Two questions. He hasn't proclaimed anything in that, but we know he's proclaimed a lot in that because he's getting us to think. When we think, we begin to change. You know, that's how it works. Again, Christ set that example, the pace, the tone for us. Mark 3, verse 4. Then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? Well, Pharisees, they kept silent. Yeah, he could have said 1,000 things that would not have kept them silent. He asked the question, they shut up. It's effective. Questions are even effective in correction. Or can be. Christ, again, was the master at it. And we have those recorded for us. And we can learn a lot from it. Matthew 20, verse 32. So Jesus stood still and called them, the two blind men, and said, what do you want me to do for you? All questions. Christ asked, again, 339 questions just recorded in the gospel. Mark 8, verse 36. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will man give in exchange for his soul? Question after question. That's an amazing way to teach. It's an amazing way to learn, to grow, to work with your children, to work with your employers, to work with your... You ask your employer, Mr. Employer, what can I do different to be a better employee? Yeah, right. You know, who asked that question? Nobody. Subcontractors. Dave, what can I do to make your job easier as the general contractor? I can assure you I will never hear that question. They want to do 90% of the work and get 100% of the pay. And if they want to blame somebody else or you for not finishing their own job. It's so unique that you will be successful. If you're young and you got, if you're early in your career, or if you're late in your career and you still have 5 years to retire, and you want to become the best, you know, at what you do, start asking questions. How can I grow in the last 5 years of my position with this company? I want to be profitable and effective for you. What would you have me do? Oh, wow. You know, I mean, that's different. Asking questions is different. Mark 8, verse 29. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Again, that's an amazing question. Of course, Peter at the time had a great answer. Mark 11, verse 28. I'm just shotgunning all these examples where Christ is asking questions in a variety of circumstances, different topics, different audiences, different goals. Some are correctional, some are punchy. Some are just strategic. Some get people thinking. Some people get, you know, get someone stirred to action. But he didn't do it through proclamation. Again, I want to proclaim because it's quicker and easier for me. It's quicker and easier for me to correct my children. They're all adult now. I don't get to do that very much. I kind of miss it. You know, they're all older. I can't really correct them anymore, you know. It's called advice then. See, they don't have to listen. But again, you know, I want to proclaim because it's quick. Don't do that because I said so. That's the quickest possible answer. Why are you doing that? Well, I'm doing this because this and that. Well, do you understand my position on that? Well, that's another question. Well, why do you feel you need to do it that way? Do you think that's the right thing to do? Those are all, it takes more time. It's more of an investment to start asking questions. But the answers you get in the relationship that you develop, their children as this example, they start to respect you more because you're not just slamming them with a proclamation. You're getting they want to know. Well, they don't listen. They don't understand. Those are things you hear from teens. Even just, stereotypically hear from kids. Oh, their parents don't understand me. They can't relate. They're out of touch. Most of the time, that's because the parents aren't asking questions. You can ask a question. They can say something and give you an answer which seems silly and foolish and out of touch to you. But to them, it's the reality. So again, you start to go where they are so you can lead them somewhere else. That's called leadership. That's called parenting. That's called being a good employee, a good employer, being a good pastor. Jay's great. I said, Jay, Mr. Ledbetter. He asks questions every time I see him. He asks me all kinds of questions. He sets a good example that way. So again, asking questions. Mark 11, verse 28. And they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?" Verse 29 of Mark 11. But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also ask you one question. I will ask you one question, then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." Just shuts them up, right? Because he just asked them a question that either way they go with it, he won the argument. So again, that's a different example, but it's so masterful because he just avoided all the argument. And he got them to shut themselves up. Isn't that amazing? That's effective. Because otherwise they get a head of steam and they think they're right, they're self-righteous, they're puffed up, they're whatever. He gets them in their own mind to say, well, if I say this, you know, they start to evaluate and see themselves, which is more effective. Luke 6, verse 32. "But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you?" Wow. What a great question. It's a hard one. "For even sinners love those who love them." Verse 33. "And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you?" Another hard question. "For even sinners do the same." Verse 34. "And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you?" Oh, Christ, you're just punching me in the gut. These are tough questions, good questions. And once I start to think about it, I've taught myself where he wanted me to go. Therefore, I'm vested. I grow that way. As soon as you proclaim to me, I'm different, right? We all have pride. We all have ego. We all have what we think we know. As soon as you get me to question what I think I know, that's different. And so again, asking questions is so important. Luke 10, verse 36. "So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" He didn't have to tell them. Oh, the Good Samaritan was the great guy because he did this. No, people aren't that stupid. Ask good questions and you'll get somewhere with virtually every person you meet. Guy on the street, ask him a question. You proclaim to him to something, you're not going to, oh, God's a savior. Christ is going to return, and you need to repent and come to church. Sir, what gives you hope in the future? That's totally different. That's a totally different approach, isn't it? Well, I don't really have any hope in the future. Look around us. Okay, well, sir, you can start a conversation. We want to often proclaim something in every opportunity. I want to tell you something, then you turn around and tell me something. We just do that back and forth, and the monotony begins. You know, John 6, verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Verse 67, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? They were all thinking it. Christ knew they're probably having doubts. Well, ask them the question. Ask them a question. Paul also set a great example in this. I'm going to prove this point without reading a single scripture. I'm just going to refer to the verses. So again, these are separate questions, distinct separate questions that the Apostle Paul, again, most prolific writer we have in the New Testament. I'm just going to read the verses that are questions. I'm just going to take Romans as a couple chapters in Romans here. Romans 2, these are questions. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 21, verse 22, verse 23, verse 26, verse 27. I couldn't write a letter with that many questions. How do you do it? It's an art. It wasn't just Christ. God's trying to teach us something through just the format and how and what's recorded. Romans 3, next chapter, which again wasn't written as a chapter. It's a letter. Romans 3, verse 1, verse 3, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 27, verse 29, verse 31. That's a lot of questions. How do you ask that many questions in the context of writing somebody a letter? Because you're focusing on them. You're getting them to answer, to respond, to participate, to engage in this relationship. It's totally different, and it changes everything. Romans 4, the next chapter, verse 1, verse 3, verse 9, verse 10. Romans 6, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 15, verse 16. You can go through the whole New Testament up and through maybe 1 John, Revelation, Jude. Certainly there are lots of questions in there. But when there are letters written to congregations, it's questions. Why not proclaim, if you're the apostle and you're writing a letter to somebody, dude, I've got a chip on my shoulder. I'm proclaiming. I'm telling you all what to do. That's the style nowadays. I've got my opinion. If I don't have the facts, I at least have opinion. I'm going to tell you what it is. I don't want to hear your position, your thought. Why are you the way you are? What a great question. What makes you think that way? Well, where do you think you've gotten that idea? How do you come to that conclusion? Wow. Talk about now getting to hear something about somebody that really gets to help you understand who and why they are the way they are. It's life-changing. Again, so being teachable. Of course, asking questions is a way to listen. You know, we often want to speak, so we don't ask questions because I want to speak. I don't want to listen. Asking a question inherently means I have to sit back and now listen. I don't want to do that. That's the reasons. Of course, humility. Asking questions is a form of humility. I care about what your answer is rather than me voicing what I want to say. It is. It's a form of humility. That's why it's so life-changing. We can pray all day long, and we should, I mean, as often as we can. But sometimes when we get a block, asking questions may totally change, be more effective or as effective as a tool because it's new, it's different. We start asking God the right questions rather than praying, which often is just asking for physical things. At least for me, maybe I'm the only one. I'm the only one that just seems to ask for a lot of things. God, work this out. Help me to avoid this. God, fix this. Do that. Provide this. Instead of asking God, open my mind, or God, what is, or how do I serve a group of people in church that I rarely see or serve? Or how do I understand this? Whatever. Just asking the right questions, God will guarantee and does that he'll help us answer if we're seeking. Again, we're inquiring. And we're looking for the answers. Matthew 18, verse 2. Matthew 18, verse 2. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, which is emphasis, I say to you, that's double emphasis, Assuredly, like truthfully, I say to you, of course you say, you're about to say something. Why tell us you're about to say something? Because he's emphasizing it twice. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted, you change. You go from here to here. You start from here, you go to here. That's pretty good, right? Left to right for you guys. Did you see that little speaking technique? Left to right. You went from here to there. That's awesome. You're converted. You're changing from one thing to another. Again, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means, that's very, very inclusive, you by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. I've heard many interpretations and messages on this. You know, it's humility, little children are dependent. And I would say those are all good answers. Dependent on people for everything. As little children, we should depend on God the same way. But I think in the context of this message and the volume of material as proof, that one of the greatest things about children is that they ask questions. I've never heard anybody say that before. But let me just give this study. This is Littlewood's retailer survey. This is a pretty big one. They surveyed 1,000 mothers. That's a pretty big study group. With children aged between 2 and 10, revealed from moms. Moms are hands-on, right? Filled an average of, you fill in the blank, number of questions a day from their young children. Anybody want to guess? Again, this is children aged 2 to 10. That's what Christ would have picked up. You know, it would have been a baby, a newborn. Just let the children come unto me. They were able to walk. Come to him, probably in this age group. And he says, if you don't become like a child, by no means you'll enter the kingdom. How many questions a day does a child in the ages of 2 to 10 ask? 288 on average. Questions, that's average. Questions a day. It varies by age. Girls, I could attest to this because my wife and I have had three girls. I was just testing you. Three girls. Girls aged 4 are the most curious, asking, anybody want to guess? How many questions per day? Girl age 4, if the average is 288, a girl age 4 asks 390 questions a day. And I'm 100% I believe that that is true. Carly asked, she's our youngest, she probably asked 5 times that. She wouldn't shut up. I mean, she just talked all day and still does. And asks lots of good questions. That's an averaging a question every 1 minute, 56 seconds. 2 minutes or less, they've asked a question. Why? Because they're just soaking in information. They're just learning. They're curious. They're growing, right? Converting means go from one point to another. They're at this point, they're age 4, and they're going to age 5, age 6. They're so curious and full of life and want to know and understand and grow and change and overcome, whether they think that or not. Christ says, unless you become like a child, you can't enter the kingdom. No, I want you to be stagnant and ask for physical things and never grow. No, he's not asking that. He says, ask and I'll give it to you. If you ask good stuff, man, you're going to get it 100% of the time. You want to know about me, about my son, about relationship, about the future, about how to be a brother and sister to other people, how to be a better parent, how to be a better employer, employee. All those answers are in the scripture. Seek and I'll give you the answer every time. No, God, please bless me with a raise. You know, well, you want a raise? Start asking your employer questions. Ask your employees around you questions. And it probably will get it. They will probably get the raise. That's what's so ironic about it. Even those physical things, likely, again, they're all going to come. God doesn't promise that, all those physical things. But it would be a better solution, a better attempt at getting those physical things even. So again, we just don't ask questions. And the world around us, unfortunately, is heading the other direction. It used to be, oh, ask questions. You know, be a thinker. Ask hard questions. You go to college, teach you to think. Ask questions. Nowadays, no, you go to college, they want you to think their way, and that's it. Don't think like a question asker or a seeker. We'll tell you how to think. Socially, politically, sexually, you know, whatever. We'll teach you all of that. We want to proclaim those things to you. And if you ask a question, you're all the labels that are given. You know, you're all the phobias, you're all the things if you ask questions. So again, the society around us, unfortunately, is not going to help us with this. But when we do ask questions, we'll stand out. Well, absolutely, we'll stand out. People will like you. People in the street, have a conversation. If you talk to somebody, ask a question. Ask a question. Someone's at the cash register, why are you so happy today? You got a big old smile on your face. What's going right for you? Oh, wow. You know, this guy asked me a question at the checkout. You know, I mean, it's different. It's just a different way of looking and talking to people. But again, it's fascinating. 390 questions a day. I believe it. So we get used to telling, of course. We get used to reacting to people. We get used to giving our opinions, our thoughts, our position on messages rather than asking questions. Of course, discipleship itself, what we're called to be disciples of Christ, by nature is interactive. You know, we consider, we analyze, we ask questions. Christ, of course, set that goal. So again, questions build a conversion culture where discoveries are made and truth is owned. It's a little saying I came up with. I'll say it again. Questions build a conversion culture where discoveries are made and truth is owned. Ask questions, find the answer, and you'll own that truth. Nothing will... I'm going to do a message. I normally start with a question. Well, God, why would we do it this way? Or what does this verse mean? And you start to investigate it. And once you've discovered it, it's fun. It's exciting. And you're like, wow, I now own that truth. And nobody will ever take it away because it wasn't proclaimed to me. If you just tell me something, I may believe you and I accept it. But when I discover it for myself, because I've asked a question, it's now that discovery's made and I own it. That's different. So as disciples, we must follow Christ's example and learn to ask questions and seek answers. Sorry, I definitely went long because I never looked at my clock. Sorry about that.